tsunami's back, bitches.
Took you long enough.
This has been an experience we will never forget.
This ain't no time to go all mushy.
Don't lecture me. I've waited long enough.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 237 of the Tsunami Escape Podcast. I'm Greg Zeno. Tonight we have B-Dubs.
Hello.
C-Coler.
Hey guys.
Live from the field, it's Seda.
Hello everybody.
Seda, where are you reporting from? What's going on out there?
I am in a lab with lots of like vacuum chambers and pumps and noise.
Okay, we'll get back to Seda later on Action 7 News. Chug.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Okay. Can't complain.
What's been going on?
Not much, really. Like, I wish I could say I've been doing anything new and exciting, but, like, I've been playing basic-ass Battle Royale games with friends recently. I got an Oculus. I played some fucking fishing game.
Oh, cool. You got the Oculus Quest 2, or...
Yeah, Oculus Quest 2.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's fun. I did a roller coaster thing. That was kind of neat. Made me a little bit motion sick.
That's like the worst... That's the first thing most people do in VR, and it's the worst thing they could do in VR.
Yeah. I think you really had to kind of get used to it. But I like the fishing game so far. Unfortunately, my computer is ass, and I do not want to set this up so I can play some VR games on my computer in, like, the lowest possible settings in VR, because that sounds just not fun.
Yeah, might be a little risky to do that, if depending on your graphics card.
Yeah. But yeah, that's basically it.
Seda.
What have I been up to?
Yes.
I've been playing a very, very niche RPG again. It's called Saviors of Sapphire Wings. It's a dungeon crawler, like a wizardry style thing. It is very unremarkable.
So it's an incredibly niche, that never heard of, but incredibly unremarkable.
Yes.
Wow. Fantastic. Sounds great. C-Coler.
I mean, I'm kind of with everyone else. I've not been doing much. I spent all day, well, not all day, but I spent a lot of time yesterday just editing our March Madness bracket episode and putting that out, getting all the clips and stuff on there. So that's out if anyone wants to listen to it. It ended up being 3 hours and 45 minutes long, so... aside from that,
you cut out all the dead air where we're just listening.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I put in like between 45 seconds to a minute worth of each opening. Yeah. So they're all there to listen to. Not all of it though, you know, but most of them. And, yeah, that was actually kind of fun, but it just took a long time. So I didn't have any time to like, I didn't play any games or anything.
What's been going on with you, B-Dubs?
Nothing really. A lot of work.
I guess this is what happens.
We are having exciting lives, aren't we?
That's what happens when you spend 6 hours of your Sunday recording an OP bracket.
Seriously.
What have you guys been doing in the basement I chained you in to record this bracket thing? Help! Well, it's good to see everyone's having fun down there in the basement. Let's talk about Attack on Titan. Speaking of basements.
Hey.
Attack on Titan, episode 68, Brave Volunteers. In this sort of backstory episode, why did all those dudes just show up and suddenly they were with the scouts? Here's the story. They were on a boat, a Marlian scout boat, and they got caught and they were like, you know what? Fuck these guys. We're with you now. And also Sasha does a lot of shenanigans. Chug, what did you think of this episode?
I thought it worked. It was a bit of a cool down episode, but I think having that time skip and having this fill in gaps in that time skip is interesting. Like it's a time period that you've watched 8 episodes not knowing about, so now you kind of want to know about it. So I liked it, you know, not as exciting as a couple weeks ago, but I thought it was pretty enjoyable. I thought this had a lot of nice moments, the funeral thing especially. Like I liked that little moment with Cookman and Sasha's dad, John Marston.
God.
God, he was John Marston, wasn't he?
Yes.
Ugh.
Also, Sasha, you can't ask people why they're black.
Sasha.
Someone needs to talk to Sasha.
She's an innocent. She doesn't know any better. I mean, I'm not even like joking. I mean, imagine you lived in this world and you'd never seen.
No.
You know, like, I mean, yeah, in our society, that's obviously a no-no. But like, they would have no expectation for that. You know,
it's mostly just kind of a funny moment because it's just like, oh God, no, don't do that. But like, yeah. I
and there's like, ooh.
And the guy took it really well. I mean,
yeah, I thought the answer he said was good. And I do think it's realistic for someone like Sasha to ask something like that.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it as a knock against the show. Mostly just kind of like a, oh, no.
Yeah, I thought the same thing at first. I'm like, oh, ooh. But he was like, yeah, his answer was really good. And I even like the fact that he's like, it's like, yeah, and God made us this way. And they're like, who?
What's a God?
Like, there's just like, there's a lot of really interesting stuff here, like world building wise. Like, I like them just being like, oh yeah, they're fucking like, I forgot what word they say. It's something on the line of like aerial, like,
oh yeah, yeah, he says aerial warfare.
They're like, aerial warfare.
What the fuck is that? Like,
you can fly. Yeah, Hanji in particular was super funny in this episode. Like, she was unhinged.
Hanji is just like walking around yelling, did anyone order a large ham?
Oh, you know what else I like? That shit with Zeke. I like Zeke just no-selling all of Levi's threatening shit.
Yeah.
They should fuck.
Yes, they should.
It's weird to me, maybe it shouldn't be, but it's weird to me that Zeke is legitimately scared of Levi. At least he comes across that way.
Well, I mean, dude, like, Sonic the Hedgehog his arm off at one point. I think I'd be scared, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the whole episode was framed basically with Armin talking. It's revealed in the very last shot of the episode that he's talking about everything that's been going on to someone, and he's holding, like, some flowers. And then at the end of the episode, it pans up, and it was Annie the whole time in her, like, crystal cocoon.
Sadie, I've noticed the pipes have come in. Do you have something you need?
Sorry. I have two things to say. One, you could sort of tell this episode was like a lower budget is not the best way to put it, but, you know, like a not as intense episode for like animation quality and whatnot. It's more of a flashback, slow, you know, low energy episode, which is fine. But I read over the weekend this nice kind of opinion article about world building, and mm-hmm. It specifically used the example of like the old Star Wars extended universe as like an example of bad world building in the form of like overbuilding, where absolutely everything is detailed to the nth degree, and like there's every single character in the movies has a backstory and a history, and you can checklist it and diagram it and everything. And like, while it like all, you know, more or less might hold water, it eventually gets to a point where it's not interesting anymore. And this article I read was kind of arguing that better world building leaves a little bit up to interpretation, leaves imagination to fill in some of the gaps where it's not so over detailed. And they called it like flavor text world building, where you might get a mention here or a glimpse there of the larger world outside of your direct storyline. And I personally agreed with that a lot. And I feel like Attack on Titan, you guys were mentioning a few minutes ago, kind of does that as well, where we understand that there is Marley and then there's Paradis, but there's sort of like this larger world outside of that that we kind of see glimpses of, but not the whole thing. And I personally really appreciate that, how it sort of like, it kind of places this whole storyline that we're seeing in, inside of a larger picture without getting so overburdened in like every single possible detail there could possibly be. Does that make any sense?
No, yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, it very much, there is this larger world, but it feels like this is the story of two specific places.
Also, one other thing I want to mention, too, is we do briefly see Gabby and her friend, like, in a jail. And Gabby is lost it.
Oh, yeah, she's not having a good day.
Also, why did they have to do that to our gigantic woman and on Yonkapon?
Gabby is Aaron.
What was that?
Young Gabby is like young Aaron.
Oh, yeah. Just most ridiculous.
I've seen apparently people don't like that comparison, but I'm pretty sure that's the point of those two characters.
Yeah.
They helped them do all that shit, and they're just like, actually, we don't trust you anymore. Let's point guns at you and blah blah blah. Sorry, we're not friends. Actually, it's like, wow, that's fucked up.
It is fucked up. Yeah, wondering where that goes. I wonder if they're just suspicious of like Zeke to that degree.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust that fucker.
Yeah,
I would.
Yeah, I mean, I would not trust Zeke as much as I would trust this bull-cutted tall girl. She seemed genuinely want to be on their side. I'm kind of surprised they turned on them so quickly.
Well, she was also like a very big, like, I think Zeke is fucking awesome type person. So I'm wondering if that's part of it.
I did like, too, that they introduced her character before we knew who she was, and now we're kind of learning who she is.
Yeah, they did that to, I'm going to butcher his name, on Yonkapun as well.
I also just butchered it, don't worry.
Where they showed him just, like, flying the fucking Zeppelin before we actually get him, like, in this flashback. So, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of cool.
We saw a lot of people I haven't seen in years. It's like, hey, remember Zachary?
Sasha eating seafood is adorable.
Just eat the whole lobster. Shell and all.
I love that guy just getting like real judgy about it and then just like talking shit about his food, and then she's over here just like thirsting over it.
Sasha is a chef's dream. She will eat anything you put in front of her.
Or she would have.
She... Oh.
It's okay. John Marston's here to eat her, Phil.
God.
Anyway, speaking of eating your fill, Food Wars. Food Wars, the third plate, episode 3, The Lunar Feast. In this episode, still not going great for Team Soma and also Team 3 Dumbasses over here. Alice just refuses to do anything right. Just complete clown shoes. Like, they wanted her to buy naan. She didn't order any. Like, they're all going to get expelled, except they're not, because they're going to dramatically pull it out on the last day somehow. Like this always goes. Seda, what did you think of this episode?
To be honest, I have really a hard time remembering what happened in this episode. It was kind of just there for me.
Me too. I think they like introduced a noodle dish version of whatever they were doing, and yeah, they were selling it for free after hours.
He made like the beef. Or, like, his, like bun things into noodles.
There is some strategy where he had to, like, get people to try to eat the food because I guess it like sold better when you saw people eating it. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that seemed to be the point of the episode, whereas the goal was that this wasn't going to be a fast seller, but once people started like knowing about it and knowing like what it was and what it tasted like, it would become bigger.
Also, of course, Totsky is going to expel everyone who works at the stall, no matter what.
Yeah. So,
even Megumi.
Yep. Megumi can't go 5 days without being under threat of expulsion.
Right.
Yeah, this is just another scenario where Soma's ace in the hole is basically some past experience he had with his father, where he's like, oh, my dad used to do it like this. And it's like, he used to go to have his own... We would do the summer festivals in our hometown, and this is how he sold stuff. And it's basically that again, where he's just like, this is my secret technique. I just know this thing I did when I was a kid, which is fine. I'm assuming the little, like, shady back alley deal he had with the guy with the key, was that involved with, like, him using the card, or is that something else?
So it has something to do with how, you know, at the end, the two girls from his hometown stop by the shop and it's like open and they're like, wow, they must be back. And they walk in and are like, holy shit. Ah!
I forgot about that scene, actually.
You'll see. I remember what this is. I'm completely driven insane by the panning shots. Like, it truly is every single shot.
Is this the episode where Alice turned like Natto into like suckers?
Yes. Maybe? What was that, last week?
I think that was this week.
That could have been this week.
Anyway, I realized the reason why they do all the panning shots. When you like watch again and be like, okay, how many times during one of these shots is something other than their mouth moving?
Oh yeah, no. It's to give some kind of semblance of movement. My controversial take here, I don't really care. It doesn't look good. I don't know if I need this show to look good.
I kind of need the food to look good, and it looks less good now.
Oh, I don't know. I feel like I'm weirdly picky. So while some of this shit sounds good, not all of it does. Like, there's no ways you can get a turtle burger to look good to me.
I'm with you, though, Chug. I noticed the panning, and I'm like, it's panning. But, like, on the whole, I don't really care about the look of the show so much. I think my only issue with this episode was that, just like Seda said, I really had a hard time remembering what happened, because it's just, I think the episode itself was just not particularly well-paced or well-written, because it was confusing, and not a lot happened. And it was just sort of like a meandering episode. There was no event that was really noteworthy.
Yeah. I would say I enjoyed it. Oh, you know what I did like in this episode, now I think about it? Soma and Smelly Girl just kind of nerding out. But that's about it. That's all I got.
That is true. I do like their, like, because they're both into, like, oh, freaky food.
Yeah.
They're both into, like, actually killing people with their food.
Yeah, he's just like, here, check out my fucking peanut butter squid or some shit. And that was kind of cute, but, like, yeah, other than that, it's kind of a whatever episode-wise.
And she's like, here's the shit that Anthony Bourdain wouldn't eat.
This feels like... I've talked a bit about how I don't think anime pacing... I feel like it leads more to cliffhanger than like an actual like episode that's structured to make sense, and this feels like that. It's just kind of there.
Also, over at the other stall where everyone else from the Polar Star dorm is, because we have no idea what to do with these other characters, they're just doing a host club.
Makes sense.
At least that dude's got his freaking clothes on.
Yes, please. Thank you for being sanitary. Fire Force? Fire Force Season 2, Episode 16, Mind Blown. My mind is blown by how little people moved in this episode. C-Kohler, what did you think?
It's all right, I guess. It was kind of more of the same from the previous episode. We did get Maki basically beating down Arrow, like, straight up fisticuffs.
Oh, we got some weird fan service there.
Oh, yeah.
Arrow is thick.
Yeah, for some reason, Homera, like, ripped some of her clothes. I don't know what that was about.
You know what it was about.
Well, I know, but I don't know what they justified it in the show for. But anyway. Yeah, but like I did like the bit where Maki faced off with Arrow. And I like this idea, too, a little bit of the... Each of the pillars gets assigned a protector. And apparently right now, the pillars that are around are getting the protectors that are not normally assigned to them. So that's interesting to me. I don't know. I never saw that coming where there was like, oh, each person's a protector. They end up playing hot potato with that kid for a while. Just kind of juggling
that
him around.
Was very good, I have to say.
They're just kind of treating his head like a ball.
Poor Nanaku. Nobody is really interested in him. He's basically a MacGuffin at this point.
Well, someone had to be.
Yeah. So we are also introduced a little more to this new character, Ritsu, who is... she's basically like Stein from Soul Eater in design, in appearance. She's got like all stitched up and stuff. But her firepower is Neko Pyro, which... From what I can tell, she just uses fire to bring dead bodies to life and puppets them.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah. At this point, fire can do pretty much anything in this show.
She kills this one guard who is just kind of standing there by the door, and it's like, what was this dude doing?
The other thing that I did like, though, was this bad guy, who I don't remember his name, but the guy with the crazy eyes.
Kurone.
He had to temporarily kind of team up with our good guys, and his like whole shtick is that he doesn't want to fight anyone powerful. He only wants to fight weaklings, and he kind of like mumbles to himself about it this whole episode, which I thought was mildly funny. But I kind of had this epiphany that this character is basically the anti-Goku. He doesn't want to fight anyone strong. He wants to fight only the weak.
He was like, show me Krillin.
Yeah, he's like the literal opposite
Krillin.
Of Goku.
He's like Yamcha.
Not even Krillin. He's like
Yamcha.
Not even Yamcha. He's like, no, can but I beat the shit out of Puar?
Yeah, that's where I was going. Just give me fucking Oolong. Let's fucking go. I enjoyed the conversation with him and his boss.
Oh, yeah, the phone call.
A moron? Yes. Yes, sir. I am.
That was very funny, actually. I like that whole sequence. We only hear his side of the conversation, and it's just like...
Yeah, just like...
Yes, I'm an idiot. Oh, okay, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, like... other thing I liked about this episode is this poor child losing his fucking mind about Rekka, of all people.
And then his tongue just becoming Rekka.
Yeah.
And then he turns into a gigantic huge dude.
Yes, this kid's having a bad day.
He is. Unfortunately, when he's firing off his beam lasers, like, nobody... Another consistent problem. People barely move to avoid them, because nobody moves at all.
What's his name? Charon? Charon?
Yes.
Stepped in to protect Shinra, and I'm like, yes, the more interesting team-up. Also, I like the shit with Arthur and the sword. I thought that was funny.
I don't.
It's okay. I mean, it's not funny, but it's mildly amusing because, yeah, we get what's going on here. Arthur is just a dummy, though. I mean, like, to the extent of, like, come on. He's not that stupid.
No, my favorite reveal here was them talking about, he's like, yeah, your legendary sword. And he's like, what, this piece of shit? And it, like, I don't know, man. I'm kind of with Vulcan. I would have assumed he liked that thing a lot.
It just was went on way too long, and it's such a blatant, like, I don't really know what to do with Arthur here, so he has to stand in place on a car because Haumea is here. And they just kind of neutralize each other, so I don't have to worry about them. A little frustrating, because he can do cool shit, but he never gets to do anything. Haumea can somehow Spider-Man around, though. I don't know how that works.
Yeah. But it's definitely something she can do. But yeah, this arc isn't the greatest, but I do still find it kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard the ending's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
People have guessed, but nobody has gotten it.
I'm guessing there is going to be a weird redemption of Squinty-Eyed Man. I'm going for worst possible fucking idea here. And we leave this kid with him. But it's not really a redemption, and he's still going to be, still, like, keep doing his shit.
Seda, what did you think of this episode?
My thoughts are pretty similar to yours. It's just pretty much a continuation of the last episode. I kind of feel like there was a lot of banter, not a lot of action or much happening. Arthur's little gimmick did go on for kind of a bit. It was amusing enough, but still. Yeah.
All right, then let's move on to Black Clover. So Nando. Black Clover, episode 141, The Golden Family. In this episode, a bunch of basically all the Golden Dawn people who got turned into elves go off and help. Remember that literally first village from the first mission from the very beginning, like 139 episodes ago?
No.
No. Okay. Yep. Boars?
I do remember the boars. I specifically remember these fucking boars.
Anyway, they have to go kill some boars too. Oh, and I don't remember anything else about this episode. B-dubs, what did you remember?
There were some fucking boars.
Great! Love boars. Seriously, I can't remember shit. Like, I got it.
They went into a dungeon.
Okay.
There was like fucking 8 Golden Dawn members. They beat up a bunch of mooks and then found some dude who was really fucking confident about being able to take on 8 Golden Dawn members. And then Yuna won, and they went back, and Yuna was like, this guy that doesn't like me, he did a pretty good job, actually. And the guy is like, I don't respect you still, but you can come to lunch. And that was the end of the episode.
David Swallow was also there.
Oh, yeah, David. I heard them say the word David, and I was like, our boy!
Yay! I have truly nothing else to say about this episode. It's such a complete nothing.
It's there. Yuno's here. He's still kind of dull.
He did smile.
He is always kind of smiling.
Yeah.
Like, usually in a, Asta, you're such a moron way.
Yuno is the Sasuke figure, but, like, also not
evil.
He's Sasuke, right? If Sasuke didn't turn into a traitor, and it turns out that might have been the only thing making Sasuke somewhat interesting.
Yeah, I it's funny. Now that you mention it, yeah, he is, like, Sasuke done right, in a way. Not that he's a great character, but, like, the concept of a rival who is overconfident, but also very capable, but not a traitor or evil or just straight up a megalomaniac or whatever the heck Sasuke is.
Like, they have the moment where Yuno turns heel because of the elf, and then he's the one that immediately breaks it. They don't even get the fight.
He's just like, nah.
Yeah.
nah, I'm fucking Yuno. Get this shit out of here. Get this fucking elf shit out of here.
I'll have the tattoo for a while, but like...
Baby elf?
I am in control.
I am in control here. Yeah. There was a new OP.
Yeah, it was okay.
It was solid as they usually are.
Yeah. I think there's one more OP before this show just ends.
I think so too, yeah. Mangod says, if we did an NCAA bracket of endings, we would just do an entire division of just Inuyasha.
Oh, God.
Oh, yep.
Sounds right.
He's not wrong. That's where Inuyasha shines.
I mean, those EDs are just holy crap.
Let's just talk about Gridman, because, God, imagine trying to wring blood out of a stone that is Black Clover.
What the hell is there to say?
SSSS Gridman, Episode 9, Dream. In this episode, Akane has just decided to have a just gigantic dream kaiju, put everyone into a dream, where basically she's everyone's girlfriend / best friend forever. Seda.
So, we've learned in the last few episodes that it seems like Akane's goal is for people to like her or to have friends in some regard. It's a twisted version of that, but that's kind of what it boils down to. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing that I kind of want to know going forward is, like, why wasn't she able to make friends, like, normally? Because it seems like she would have been able to, but for some reason could not. And that's why she decided to kind of go this route, like this world she created. So that's kind of where I'm at, like, overall. As for this episode itself, I thought it was really well, like, shot and directed. You know, a lot of great artwork in the scenes. A lot of it was redone from the first episode, you know, kind of revisiting scenes from that, only with a new perspective in these dreams. The battle itself was whatever. I think the rest of the episode is obviously more interesting. That's pretty much what I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, that's par for the course for Gridman. I mean, it's everything about this show I like is not the battle stuff. The battle stuff just happens and I forget it happens.
Yeah, like, no joke, when the opening theme stops blaring and Gridman jumps out, my eyes just kind of glaze over.
Yeah, and we didn't even have, like, if I had to, like, remind myself this happened. The battle this time was just the ancillary, you know, Neo Genesis team guys all, like, merging together. Like, Gridman wasn't even there. But you wouldn't even know it, like, because I just don't care. Like, they just, okay, they have to fight the kaiju.
I also completely missed that.
Yeah. Gridman was not even in this episode outside of being on the screen.
On billboards and in mirrors and windows.
I mean, here's the thing. Having said that, I really like this show. Because everything outside of the combat with the kaijus is great.
Yeah, I would completely agree. I was really into this episode except for the fight. Where I'm just kind of like, yeah, whatever, they'll beat the kaiju, let's go. Like, I just don't really care much about the kaiju stuff, but, like, everything else is just really interesting, and they do a lot of fun shit with the characters.
Yeah. Do you think the fights are worse off because they're so kind of slavishly devoted to making them look like they would in, like, a actual people in rubber suits?
No, I don't think it's the look of the fights or anything. I think they look fine. I think I just don't care about the combat as much as I care about these characters. I care about... I want to know what Akane's deal is. I actually legit feel kind of bad for her. She really got shit on in this episode. And yes, I know she's an antagonist and she's done some bad things. But, like, it's pretty clear to me at this point that Akane is suffering. And
she needs to wake up from a dream.
Yeah, Gridman even says at the end of the episode, it's like, there's someone else we need to wake up. And I think he means that metaphorically, but regardless, Akane is the one that's really going through something right here. And even though we kind of saw her as the antagonist to begin with, the truth is that she created these worlds. She created everyone in this world to basically be her friends, and it's not working out for her.
Right. I definitely want to see where that goes. On a lighter note, what is Utah's friend's name again?
Utsumi.
Utsumi. Can we talk about Utsumi trying to gatekeep Kaiju?
What do you mean?
Can you name this one? Can you name
this one?
You like Kaiju? Name all of them.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, the thing is what I liked about that whole part of the story, because again, the episode is basically everyone's the three mains are dreaming. Akane is controlling their dreams. She's reset everyone's memories in this dream world. But what we learn is that the truth is that these three characters do sort of exist in the real world, quote unquote, the real world, for the same purpose. So like,
right.
Uta is supposed to be her boyfriend. Utsumi is supposed to be her friend who she can geek out with Kaiju with. And Ritsu is supposed to be her girlfriend, you know, her friend who is a girl. And just like what happened in the quote-unquote real world, in the dream, they all just sort of go, well, this can't be real. I just don't really feel that way about you. And that's pretty, I think that was really well done in this episode, how they sort of like just realize, like Utsumi in particular, it's like, everything's going too good. Like, you're this perfect friend for me. You're a girl included, you know, and this is unbelievable. I can't believe this is real. And he wakes up.
Yeah, like they all just kind of realize, like, no, that's not, this isn't correct. Yeah, I don't know. It's good. It's good stuff. I liked it a lot.
We finally kind of got some like trigger shots when they were running through the city in their primary colors.
Other thing that made me laugh was Anti trying to attack this kaiju.
Yeah.
My dude's just kind of screaming.
And I like Akane's like reaction. He's like, what is he doing? I thought you were supposed to get rid of him.
Yeah.
What's Alexis's deal? I don't remember what his deal is.
I have no idea. It's not been revealed.
Probably the guy who is pulling Akane's strings and he's the actually true bad guy.
Yeah.
What gave you that impression?
Thought I would imagine, but
I don't know what you're talking about. He's clearly just a man in cosplay who's just a good friend to Akane.
He's just her butler in cosplay.
Yeah.
Never mind his vaguely sinister transatlantic accent and his smoking head.
I do like, by the way, I really love his voice. This dub voice is great. I want to say, too, though, that, like, in any other show, like, Risu's reaction to Alexis should have broken the narrative. It should have been like, what? How can she accept this? But it makes sense here. Not only is she A, in a dream, B, she's a constructed character in Akane's world. So it's like, yeah, I guess everyone just lets it slide, you know? And that's okay to me, because it's like, yeah, okay, of course she would just be accepting of this weird guy walking around with smoking hair. As far as he goes, I think my guess is that Alexis is behind everything, is my theory, but I do believe that maybe he needs Akane to do the stuff that she does, like to come up with the kaijus, because he keeps always saying, it's like, oh, you're the best at making kaijus. I feel like he's egging her to do it because he needs her to.
All I remember about the ending of the show is the one thing that that everyone remembers, so mm-hmm. I'm interested in seeing it again. Do we want to talk about Naruto Shippuden?
Oh, we can end the show.
Naruto Shippuden, episode 332, The Will of Stone. I've not forgotten what this is. This is an Onoki episode?
It's the beginning is an Onoki episode. This turns into a Sasuke episode.
Oh, right. That's right.
Like, The Will of Stone is like the first 8 minutes.
Sasuke's like, Itachi, I'm doing what you've always wanted. I'm going to destroy the leaf. And Itachi's like, stops in midair, turns around, is like, the fuck?
God.
You stupid child, I'm going to have to beat the shit out of you again. Other than that, Tsunade gets a... Madara is a huge sexist, and Tsunade gets to smack him down, but she's going to get crushed anyway, so... Oh.
Yeah, yeah, there were like three parts to the episode. One was the backstory to the big nose guy, who I can't possibly care less about, the Tsuchikage guy. That was not interesting to me at all. I didn't care. It does remind me, though, that, like, when he was a young man, Madara was around, and it's like, Madara's like a legend. I don't know. Whatever. And then the second part is, yeah, Sasuke chasing the resurrected Itachi. And he's like a spoiled little, like, punk little brother who's just like, Itachi, why are you running away? Aren't you going to fight me? Come on, let's go. Basically, the whole time. And then, it ends with the Madara basically conversation with What's-Her-Face and being like, he literally says something like, it's like, what can you do? You can't do wood style. Your medical jutsu is not that great. And most of all, you're a weak woman.
Tsunade is just like, oh, well, we'll see what's happening. You'll see how you like that when I beat the shit out of you. Narrator voice. But Madara will crush all of them.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's Madara.
Why is wood so...
You kind of touched on this already, how, like, the history of Naruto is all, like, within, like, 80 years.
Yeah, it's been in fucking... Like, this is over the course of, like, four generations.
You know what, though? Here's a funny thought. I just realized this. The move from Shippuden time period to Boruto time period, they basically go through an entire industrial revolution in, like, the course of, like, 10 years. So maybe it's not that surprising.
Hey, man, like, back in Madara's time, that seemed like just straight-up feudal Japan, and in Naruto time, they have computers.
Right.
Yeah, I guess that's what happens when, like, all of a sudden no one's trying to kill each other, but it is wild how they just go from, like, just this kind of not-so-great world.
12 years, maybe? Like, how old is Boruto? 12, 13?
Boruto is, like, 13.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, over the course of 13 years, they've invented trains and telephones and blah, blah, blah. You know?
Skyscrapers and televisions.
Yeah, we got fucking skyscrapers.
Video game consoles.
Movies. Well, I guess they've been at war for like
ever. We have
ever,
the concept
so like...
of fast food now.
Hey man, every single village has like a DARPA that's coming up with weird shit that doesn't do anything in battle. And it's like, I don't know, this cooks food good though.
Yeah, and it's like, well, you know, we can't use it, so let's just put it aside, and it's like...
Here's a system for sharing information between computers.
What's a computer?
Shut up. Here. Sell this, I guess.
Yeah, it just sort of... I mean, you could feasibly explain it by saying, you know, the world had been so militaristic for so long that every advancement had been focused on, you know, being better at killing each other. And at which point, as soon as they found peace and stopped having to do that all the time, they were able to shift their focus and it, you know, which is still kind of bullshit.
That's exactly what I thought the first time I saw Boruto. I was just immediately like, oh yeah, they're in peace times now. Everything's progressed. It makes perfect sense.
Also, people have like magic, so...
Well, that's kind of another whole ball of wax. I mean, like, we've talked about this a million times, but, like, in Naruto, there are no such thing as a car or a plane. Everyone just hops through trees to get everywhere. And you could argue
they have
like...
Zeppelins now.
What?
Yeah, that's a thing in Boruto.
Oh, yeah, they have Zeppelins now. Okay, but that's Boruto, though. I'm talking about in Naruto time.
Oh, yeah, Naruto world.
In Naruto time... You would think things like vehicles would be an advantageous thing to have, but I think that it's explained away by the fact that they have jutsus and other garbage.
Yeah, but it's also like, you know, there's more people than just ninjas in this world. Like,
are
how
there?
The fuck do you transport
your, you know what?
Like,
I have seen so few. I have seen so few actual civilians in this series. I actually have a hard time believing they exist.
Well, you know, they're fighting off the sumo wrestlers. Moms are tough, you know?
That's every true. Civilian is just not wearing their bandana that day.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way I took it. I think everyone goes to ninja school. It's just like some people just don't make it. They have to get...
Like,
they get
guess you're selling flowers,
yeah,
loser.
You get stuck selling flowers or ramen, you know?
Everyone shits on... All the ninjas shit on you.
You become a roving gang of sumos.
Yes. They were originally outcasts. They couldn't make it through the ninja academy.
Remember when we were talking about this Naruto Shippuden episode?
No.
All right, yeah. Good discussion.
Good, mm-hmm. Good talk, everyone.
Good job, guys.
Anything? Any last words about Naruto, this week's Naruto Shippuden?
Honestly, Zeppelins are cool, and I kind of wish they didn't turn into like we had those instead of airplanes, because I feel like just aesthetically it's better, you know.
Yeah.
Well, like, I mean, you know, you see an airplane really flying over a city, you know, it's one thing. You see a Zeppelin flying over a city, it's like, yeah, I bet that's nice and comfortable, and you know, they're having drinks and sitting around, like,
and
maybe eating something. And I mean, yeah, that's obviously the problem, but, you know.
Anyway, let's rank these episodes. I remembered slightly more about Shippuden than Black Clover, so I'm going to say Black Clover's at the dead-ass bottom.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I would maybe say Black Clover, but I don't care enough.
And then, I mean, one of them is at the bottom.
Yeah. It's one of those two.
Yeah.
And then Shippuden, I think. And then I don't... I can't decide between Food Wars and Fire Force.
So it's like, this week is more like a tiers list. Like, bottom tier is like Shippuden and Black Clover, and then it's like almost bottom tier is Fire Force.
But this isn't a tier list.
I know, but it like it is.
I would say I enjoyed Fire Force more than Food Wars this week, if only because of a couple of moments like the phone call and the Maki fight. That had more going on for me than just. What's his face's, you know, nighttime plan.
Yeah.
I agree.
I would say Fire Force did better than Food Wars this week, yeah.
And then,
Attack on Titan number 2, Gridman number 1.
I think so.
Yeah, sure.
All right, from the bottom, we got Black Clover, Naruto Shippuden, Food Wars, Fire Force, Attack on Titan, and Gridman. Good shit. Seda.
Gridman really picked up in the second half, huh?
I can't decide if maybe I was always too hard on Gridman. I think it was really, like, aimless in the first half. It was a lot of just kind of episodic, walking around the city to way too much cicada noises. And then Gridman does a thing. But, of course, the fights are all the same, so you don't really pay attention. But now that there's, like, an actual plot, it's way better. Anyway, that'll about do it for this episode. Seda, thank you for being here on location.
I try my best.
Chug, once again, thank you for being here.
Yes, not on location.
Actually, yes, on location. Chug is in a submarine. What was that, Seda?
Chug also tries his best, though.
Yes, he does.
Yes, I also try my best. This is true.
Seacolor also tries his best.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I want to mention, too, there was a Criminal Threats promo this week.
Oh, fuck!
Oh, damn.
And also, the most notable thing about it, Black Clover is not featured. Did you notice this?
Yeah.
They couldn't find a single good clip from Black Clover to put in the Criminal Threats promo.
Yeah, that was weird. Anyway, so yeah.
Did somebody put up a submarine noise?
What do you you mean submarine noise? He's on his submarine.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Definitely in a submarine. B-Dubs never tries his best. B-Dubs only gives 30%.
I'm sorry. I'm very tired.
Sometimes you need to, you know?
He tries his best.
I apologize.
I never try my best ever, and I won't apologize for that. We'll see you guys next week for episode 238, I think.
Something like
Good night.
That.
Later.